Amen. Chris, turn this mic up a little bit. For those of you who have your Bibles, I want to invite your attention again to the Gospel of Luke, the passage of Scripture that Reverend Ankrum read earlier. The 19th chapter, verses 28 through 40. Hear the word of the Lord. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he had come near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees and the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, riding above expectations. Riding above expectations. Church, there's a story told of how a woman of old age who had never been married, who folk in that day would call an old maid. She was the object of the news that was circulating in the community. This woman who folk called Anne was one day approached by one of the nosy women of the community. And she said to her, "Sister Anne, I hear you are engaged and you are about to get married." Upon hearing the news, Sister Anne smiled and then chuckled with this reply. She said, "No, I'm not engaged. And no, I'm not getting married. But thank God for the rumor." Church, there was a rumor out concerning Jesus as it related to his purpose and the aim of his ministry. Ever since the day when Jesus was identified by John the Baptist, who declared, "There is one who is coming after me, more powerful than I am, and I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It was there when God the Father proclaimed, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit fell upon Jesus, and a rumor began It was later fueled when Jesus stepped forward in the synagogue and proclaimed the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But the rumor didn't stop there. It continued to grow after Jesus recruited not 12 men of great religious character, but he recruited 12 misfits who left everything behind to follow him. The rumor began to grow after Jesus entered the city of Gerasenes and healed the man who lived among the tombs. The man was so vexed with demons until he would wear no clothes and no one could subdue him. At night he would bruise himself with a stone, but Jesus called out the legion of demons and cast them into a herd of swine. This man begged Jesus to stay with him. Jesus told him to go home and declare how much God had done for him. But it didn't stop there, because Luke records that after Jesus delivered this demon-possessed man, another man named Jairus approached him and begged him to follow him to his home, for his daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. And when Jesus turned his face to Jairus' home, the Bible declared that the crowd was great. But in the crowd, there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. She spent all she had, and the doctors couldn't do her no good. As a matter of fact, instead of getting better, she got worse. This woman was in the crowd that day. The Bible said she pressed her way and touched the hem of his garment, and her condition was immediately cured. Every day, church, we ought to be like this woman. We ought to be intentional about touching Jesus. When we pray, church, that's how we touch Jesus. When we praise him and give him the glory, that's how we touch Jesus. We must never allow people or a crowd to discourage us, but by faith, remember, if you can press your way through the obstacles of life, there's a blessing on the other side of through. The record reflects that when Jesus got to Jairus' house, told the people to stop crying because the girl was only sick. But the Bible records that the people laughed at him because they knew she was dead. And unfortunately today, we are still laughing at him. When we don't love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul, we laugh at him. When we don't love our neighbor like we love ourselves, we laugh at him. When we walk contrary to the ways of his commandments, we laugh at him. But church, how many of you know that the God we serve always get the last laugh? For the Bible says Jesus took the girl by the hand, told her to get up, and life was restored to her body. Church, the rumor grew and grew concerning Jesus, how he took two fish and five loaves of bread. fed the multitude. He later revealed his glory to Peter, James, and John on Mount Hermon on the day of transfiguration, when his outside became, his inside became the outside, and they saw the glory of Lord and how Moses and Elijah came and conversed with him. You will remember how on the boat, when the water and the storm arose and the disciples were afraid, it was Jesus who got up from asleep and spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." People all around, as well as those who were with him, began to raise the question, "What manner of man is this?" He confounded the wise and made them foolish. He challenged the religious tradition of his day with his teaching. Folk of prestige, like Nicodemus and the rich young ruler, went out of their way to meet him to find answers for the emptiness in their souls. But they didn't want to meet him or be seen with Jesus, so they wanted to meet him at night. They were practitioners of that undercover faith. They wanted to keep and protect their public image to please and impress people, but they needed Jesus to heal their private pain. We still got some undercover practitioners. When folk want to publicly present themselves as having it all together, folk want to present themselves as having never made a mistake or done anything wrong, but privately, their lives are in shambles. But how many of you know the Lord we serve continues to offer to us an open invitation when he says, "Come unto me"? Lord, have mercy. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amid all of the speculation, the expectation folk would have concerning Jesus and the purpose of his ministry, it was time for Jesus to set the record straight. Our text finds Jesus planning his entrance into Jerusalem. He has an appointment with destiny there. Sends two disciples into the city to find a colt that had never been ridden. Told them to untie it and bring it to him. And if anyone wanted to know why they were untying it, they were to tell them the Lord needs it. Church, the truth of the matter is that so many of God's children have a multitude of gifts that they are not using, and the Lord needs it. Your gifts abound because you are tied to the posts of routine, to the posts of convenience, to the posts of staying in your little box, and you can't get to another level of living because you are tied to the rope of fear, the rope of complacency, the rope of staying with those who don't aspire for better and don't want you to aspire for better. But the Lord needs it. The Lord needs your time. The Lord needs your talent. The Lord needs your tithe. The Lord needs your gift. And when you untie it and use it for the kingdom, how many of you know God will do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask a thing? The plans of Jesus only fueled the speculation and fostered the false expectations that people had, and then particularly the disciples. Many times we have misinterpreted Jesus' use of a colt, a young donkey, as a sign of humility. Many have suggested that a thoroughbred horse would have been the norm. But historically, when kings made their entrance, it was on a donkey. Because of the rugged terrain of the land. So the disciples figured he must be a king who's going to overthrow the Roman government. And while others saw him as being humble because of the use of the donkey, but church, let me tell you, humility is not based on what carries you. But humility is based on what you carry on the inside. Riding a beat up car versus a nice automobile don't make you humble. You setting yourself up to have to walk. Wearing homely clothes, no makeup, no fix up. That don't make you humble. Make you homely. Humility is only based on the fact when we lined ourselves up with the word of God and obey the will of God and understand that without him we are nothing, then you are living humble. Jesus was humble because instead of listening to the rumors, instead of following the speculation of others and succumbing to what others thought he should be, he was obedient to God. Amen. He would not allow others to define for him what God had designed for him. Amid the cheers and folk laying their cloaks on the road, Jesus rode above their expectations. He refused to be intoxicated by the praises of people, because he knew that people will praise you one day and condemn you the same day. But he stayed on point with what he was called to do. They cheered him with the expectation that he would ascend to a throne. But Jesus rode above it because he had an appointment with a cross. They shouted with great enthusiasm because some saw him as the Messiah who would save the day. But Jesus rode above it because he knew his calling was to be a suffering Messiah who would save the souls of mankind. The rumor was he would right the wrong of the government. And the disciples felt like they would be appointed to high positions. But Jesus rode above it all because his mission was to pay the debt for the world. And instead of appointing people to a position, he would send them out into the world to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Church, the challenge for Palm Sunday is for us to assess our mission. What is God calling us to do? Then we've got to be obedient to do God's will, to be faithful.
means sometimes you gotta face disappointment, and you gotta disappoint those who have expectations of you. Being faithful means that you gotta deny yourself and humble yourself and submit to the order of God. Now, though it might seem like an unfair exchange in the beginning, but just remember that God gives more grace to the humble. And remember that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, despite the obstacles and the pull of your emotions due to the fact that you don't want to face opposition. Just remember what the Apostle Paul said: who can separate us from the love of God? Can distress separate us? Can persecution separate us? Paul went on to say that I am persuaded that neither life nor death, angels nor principality, nor things present nor things to come can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The call of Palm Sunday is for us to answer the clarion call, to be obedient to the will of God, and declare, Lord, here am I. Send me. Well, church, as I go to my seat, I am reminded of a story told about one day how a donkey entered to run into the Kentucky Derby. You know, the Kentucky Derby is a high esteem horse race. It is the horse racing, what the Masters is the golf. It is the best. And the story says that when the donkey was in the barn, others' thoroughbred horses began to look down on him. And then one of the thoroughbred horses walked over to the donkey and asked him, aren't you a donkey? And the donkey said, yes, I am. And the horse laughed and said to him, well, why are you in this race? You don't expect to win this race, do you? The donkey replied, no. But then the horse said, why are you in the race? The donkey replied, he said, I'm in the race because I enjoy being in good company. Church, when you're faithful to the will of God, some of y'all will get that in the parking lot. When you're faithful to the will of God, how many of you know you're in good company? When folk tell you you're out of place and you don't belong, don't hold your head down. Just know if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. You're in good company. When the odds are against you, remember you serve a God who can turn it around on a dime. You're in good company. When your health is challenged
and the doctor gives you bad news, don't wring your hands and don't you cry. Just know by his stripes you're healed. You're in good company. When folk turn against you, don't you know the Lord, won't the Lord be a fence all around you every day? Is there anybody here who can testify? Won't the Lord be what you need him to be? The Lord, yes sir, he'll make a way out of no way. If you hold on to God's unchanging hand, he will come through for you. Don't allow your circumstances to define you. You're God's child. Don't allow the expectation of people to send you down a road that God has not called you to go. Don't allow the pull of your flesh to conform to that which is not godly, just to be popular and just to be praised by people. Because if folk put you up, they can take you down. But when God put you up, he can open a door no man can close. And he can close a door that no man can open. If you hold on to God, no matter what comes your way, he'll fix it. He'll fix it. Trust.